And we played best ball today. We started playing and realized we haven't had a best ball yet. Nobody did, but had a good time. I love it. People always ask, you play golf? As a missionary to Scotland, I'd better. You know? Because it's almost religious where we're going. And how many play golf? You play golf, you like it? How many like a nice wide fairway? Don't come to Scotland because these don't exist. We have bowling alley fairways. And I mean, 10-foot wide fairway is huge. It's a different game. And it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. And it is a national pastime where we're going. And I enjoy it even though I'm bad. It's the one thing that I'm terrible at that I enjoy. And so it's rare that you find something like that. But we are thankful for the opportunity to be able to go. We are the Guzman family. We had a little video. It's going to be a little dated because we made it ourselves. And when you add a child to your family, it's expensive. You have to change your video. You have to change your prayer cards. You have to change your letterhead. You've got to change everything. So we've had a kid since we've been on deputation. And he's an expensive little guy. I'll tell you what, Ronan, it's a good thing he's cute. I guess we'll keep him around. But so he hasn't quite made it on the video yet. But everything else on there is accurate. And we'll look at that here in a few minutes. People always ask, how'd you get to Scotland? Well, my family is from Scotland. And they say, Guzman doesn't sound Scotland. My mother's side is Scottish. She was a Knuckles, which came from Nichols, which came from McNicholson. And as you can imagine, names change as we came to America. My father's side, Guzman is a German name. Though they are not German, they are Scandinavian, Norwegian. I can't pronounce the original name, but they tended geese when they emigrated to Germany after the whole Viking thing started becoming so much more hazardous, because they were the Vikings, you know, Eric the Red type stuff. And I think my father's, what's funny is my father's ancestors used to invade and kill my mother's ancestors. And I guess we've gotten that all taken care of because here I am. And that's good. And Orkney specifically, the island chain we're going to up north, is Scottish people who have mixed with the Vikings and the Picts and the Scots and the Vikings. So it's literally me. People ask, what do they look like there? About like this. It's a good-looking place. Fit in real well. And we love it. It's a very special place, the Orkney Islands. In college, we were told during a missions conference, just like this, we were told, pray for some place outside of your comfort zone. And I'm a military brat, went to 12 different schools growing up in 3 different countries, 2 continents, and however many time zones. So I've never lived, the longest place I ever lived was my dorm room in college. That's sad, I know. But being born in Texas, Fort Worth, I'm a native Texan, and that's all you need. If it's stamped Texas on your birth certificate, you are officially a native Texan. You can get the native Texan Texas license plates. It's a big deal. So I have always loved Texas, and I decided the Lord called me into ministry. I just knew He was going to have me start a church, plant a church, help pastor a church, something like that. Whatever it was going to be in Texas. That's one place I wanted to go. And they were told, pray outside your comfort zone. I said, no, I'm not doing that. I've heard stories from missionaries who prayed outside their comfort zone and now they live there. No, I'm not. I tell you what I'm going to do. I thought, I'll cheat. I'll pray for Scotland. As a child, I traveled to Edinburgh and ran in the Highland Games. We spoke some Scots Gaelic in the home. I grew up in a Scottish home, and so it wasn't really outside my comfort zone. So I said, I'll just cheat. So I was praying for Scotland. And a couple days later, walking through the college, the president of the college walked by. He said, and he likes to put people on the spot. And he pointed, said, where are you praying for, son? I said, I got this. Scotland. He said, that's not specific enough. I feel it's more specific than a country, right? He said, nothing's dynamic unless it's specific. Nothing is dynamic unless it's specific. And if you're going to pray, pray specifically and pray intelligently. So I went back to my dorm room. Just kind of in a huff, if you can imagine. Can't get away with anything in this place. I'll tell you what, pray specifically. I don't know. What's specific? Scotland. And a friend of mine came and said, why don't you pray for Orkney? Because he was just looking at the map and he just said, hey, pray for Orkney. I said, because I'm praying for Scotland. Duh. You can tell my heart was really in it. I'd never even heard of Orkney. I didn't know anything about Orkney. I mean, I knew Scottish mainland. I don't know. My family's originally from Skye, which is in the West Hebrides on the Western Islands, but I've never looked at the top. There's stuff up there. You've got the mainland, you've got Orkney, you've got Shetland. That's where your wee Shetland ponies come from. They're wee devils is what they are. If you've ever been around a Shetland pony, don't turn your back. It will bite you just for the sheer fun of it. They're evil and they must all be exterminated. No, I do not like Shetland ponies, but that's where they're from. And so I said, well, I don't know. He said, I've never heard anybody pray for Orkney. I said, me neither. I'll pray for Orkney. Kind of a, have to do something. It's amazing how God can take something like that and start to lead you and direct you, because He's sovereign. And He's got this all under control. And He knows what's going to happen, what He wants done, and He's going to accomplish His work. So I pretty much just decided, well, I'll do it. And I needed to pray intelligently, so I said, well, let's Google Orkney. Orkney's a cool place. 70 islands. When I started studying, 20 of those islands were inhabited. You'll hear today that 19 are inhabited. It's because somebody died, and now that island's uninhabited. There are a little over 20,000 souls in that island chain itself. The largest island consisting of 12,500. The smallest island now, officially, three people. Imagine living on an island of three people. You better like your neighbors. And feuds don't last very long there. It's a fishbowl. The largest city is a booming 8,000. The next largest is 2,000. And there's nothing to speak of after that. It's an exciting place. In the summer, we have midnight golf because we're way up north. It's pretty cool. You can see the northern lights. Humpback whales and orcas spawning off the coast. The largest population of the Earth's gray seals live in my place. We have more puffins than we have people. And we have 300 days a year of rain if we're in a drought. You can go up to 3 months without seeing the sun at times. It doesn't snow, it only hails. We have too much salt water for hail. And we have hurricane-force winds on an average every 2 weeks, which makes golf very difficult. The hole's over here, you line up over there and shoot it that way and hope it carries. It's just a pretty wild place. And there's been people there for a very long time. There's a settlement called Scarabre, and it's the first point of habitation on Orkney, and people have been living there since then. And they predate the Egyptian pyramids by 2,000 years. So we're talking flood, Tower of Babel, they moved to Orkney. Why? I have no clue. But they've been there a very, very long time. And of all the great history they've had of pirates and Vikings and Picts and wild people, and yet they've never, and this is something we've researched, they've never in their history had a gospel preaching work established among them. It's amazing. We always say knowledge is power. Sometimes knowledge is just conviction. I had an interest in this place, and that interest very quickly became a burden. No missionaries going there. No one's ever gone. No one's planning to go. Nobody wants to go. I remember telling God one day after we'd been praying for 2 years for this place, God, send missionaries. I gave God an ultimatum. Never give God an ultimatum. I said, God, if you don't send somebody, I'm going to go. That's dangerous. It was like the green light. That interest became a burden. That burden became a desire. That's how, she said, how do you know you're called? God just put that desire there. It's nothing natural. God just led me that way. It's different for each missionary. I'm sure Joey and others could tell you how the Lord led them, but that's the way it was for me. Started with an interest. It became a burden. That burden became so unstoppable, it became a desire to go. And God kind of just said, go. It's been inescapable since then. So we took our first survey trip after getting married in 2012. So we've been married for about a year and a half at that point. And so we're there, and there's no Christians, and we went in January. I know you're all going to want to visit us. Don't do it in January. Okay? Make this sound. You with me? You picking up what I'm putting down here? I'm just making sure. January is a rough time. You got to get there by boat. And it's in a place where the Atlantic Ocean and the North Sea meet. And they're not happy about it. It's a very special boat ride. Don't eat in the 24 hours preceding it. It's just a bad idea. I've been on a lot of deep sea boats. I have my sea legs. I have never gotten seasick until I went on this boat. And it was rough. It's a place called the Pentland Firth. It's well known as being some of the nastiest waters and most churning in your stomach. And that's how we get there. Because you don't want to fly in hurricane winds. You know, it's just kind of take a boat. okay, so we took the boat and we're there, and it's 4 p.m. and it's already black as midnight. Everything's closed. The dark streets are dark. The only windows are lighted are pubs. We weren't going there. We're here to see people, though. We're walking down the main city, and there's a light on it. It's a business. I didn't read it. I said, the door's unlocked. They made a mistake. We're going in. So we went in. Little bookstore. There's a group of people in the back talking, and I am a nosy American. So I, you know, NSA and everything, I eavesdrop. See, that's what we do here. And I just kind of listen, and I hear them talking. It's a beautiful accent. There's accents change throughout the country. And up north is a gorgeous accent. And if you come to me later this evening, I'll demonstrate for you the differences. But I listen, and I heard them start to speak of Jesus Christ. Now, I've heard Scottish people say Jesus Christ before. Not in this way. This was not profane or flippant. This was in an ownership aspect. This was their Jesus Christ. And so, as delicately as I could, just kidding, I'm an American and I'm a Texan, so I don't do anything delicately. I just go say, hey guys, who are you? My name's Mike Guzman. I'm from America. And they're like, we could tell. And how do you know Jesus Christ? Long story short, they invited us to the next town where there's a prayer meeting in a place that's never had a gospel preaching work. And they say, well, it started with this lady. And the lady, she gave her testimony in that thick Scottish brogue. She said, one evening, I was watching the YouTube. I said, the YouTube? Like it's a proper noun? And she said, all right, I was watching, I was just kind of surfing the web, and I came across a video. And she thought, you know how you can start watching, you ever done that? You start watching YouTube, you're just looking for like a sports clip. 3 hours later, you don't even know how this is happening. You're watching cat videos, and you don't know what's transpiring. Has it ever happened to you? I haven't heard. She wasn't looking for anything, but God was seeking out a people in Orkney. And she saw a video that for the first time she ever heard in her life, someone said, you're a sinner. And for the first time in her life, she was told that there's a penalty for her sin. And the first time in her life, she heard someone tell her that Jesus Christ had paid the penalty. And she said immediately, I knew this is what I'd been searching for my whole life. And she said she bowed her head in the middle of the night in Orkney, Scotland, in front of a YouTube channel and accepted Christ. But she didn't stop. She said, I picked up the phone and I called so-and-so over here. And the gentleman said, it was me. Called him in the middle of the night, got him out of bed and said, get out of bed, come to my house and see this. Now it's Orkney. There's really not a lot going on up there. So guess what? He got out of bed. He got dressed. He went down the street. He watched the video. He got saved. He called a friend, and they called a friend, and they called a friend, and they called a friend. At the end of this night, about a dozen people sat together in front of a glowing computer screen, born again, totally regenerate, a new group of creatures in a very dark place, with no direction, with no leadership, no guidance. They found an old Bible, and they said, let's just meet here tomorrow, and we'll just read it together. And we'll just do whatever it says. This is what they told me. So we'll just read it and we'll just do whatever it says. It's a novel idea, right? Let's just do whatever the Bible says. So they met the next night and they prayed together. They said they spent all night together the next night. And they read the Bible. And you know what they read? It's interesting. They read about baptism. They just opened it up. And they read about baptism. So they went out to the North Sea and they baptized each other in the North Sea. You thought your baptistry was cold. There was no question, do we sprinkle, do we pour? They went out, they dunked each other in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It was just, that's just what they do. They said, this is a church thing, and we don't have a church, we can be a church. It seems like a church is just people who are saved, who meet together, and who get baptized. So we can do that. So they started meeting. And they said, let's meet again tomorrow. They said, this is great, let's meet again tomorrow. And tomorrow. And when we had met them, they were in their seventh year of continual meetings. They had not missed a day. Meeting hours a day, reading their Bibles and praying because they did not know what else to do. And I said, what on earth do you pray about for 7 years? And one of the gentlemen looked me dead in the eye and he said, we've been asking God to send someone here to help us reach our people. He said, what took you so long? I don't know. We had to get on the boat and leave. They wept. They stood on the docks. They went, they don't understand. They don't know what deputation is. They don't get this missionary thing. It's just new to them. They said, we know God will get you here in His timing. A little update. I was there this past December. Went there to start looking at housing. We're at 70%. We're almost ready to go. 2016 is the year. We need your help. And a few more churches like you. We can get there. So I went there just to kind of encourage the believers. I said, let's hold a preaching service. Never had one of those here. Let's hold a preaching service. So we went out and we invited everyone on the street we could find. And here's what we said. These are the words we used. We're having a special meeting in the Stromness Town Hall on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., December 14th. It was my birthday. Very exciting. It's a life-changing meeting, and I want you to be my personal special guest. Now, look, what do you need to know something about Scotland? One out of every 12 deaths in Scotland is alcohol-related. The average Scottish person is a full-blown clinical alcoholic by age 14. Scottish women, a Swedish survey a couple years ago showed, they are number one in the world. Scottish women are number one in the entire planet for binge drinking. Less than 3% of the population of Scotland's 5.25 million people attend any kind of religious service, period. And we invited them to a preaching service. I said, God, give us 10 people. Just give us 10 people we can talk to. The morning came. I stood up in front of a group of about 85 people and gave the gospel for the first time in our island's history. 9 people trusted Christ as their Savior that morning. This is not normal for Scotland. I don't know if it's going to continue like this. God can do whatever He wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God's already doing a work there. He was doing it long before we've gotten there. He's doing it even though we're not there now. And He's going to continue to do it long after we've passed on. But we know He's in this. We want to get on to what God's doing. There's a video here. I've taken too long. I want you to watch this very short video just to see some of those people. Help you pray for us. Thank you so much for your time.
While being consumed by the fires of martyrdom, Patrick Hamilton cried out to God, "How long shall darkness overwhelm this realm?" After years of godly men giving their lives, the light of the gospel shone brilliantly and unhindered in Scotland. Christians like John Knox, David Livingstone, and Mary Slessor formed this country's great cloud of witnesses. But Satan has since blinded their eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Around the nation, empty church buildings are kept as shrines of Scotland's forgotten past, or converted to pubs. We have been called to go and to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light.
We are the Gooseman family, Michael, Crystal, Josiah, and Catherine. I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior on July 4, 1999, while living in Heinsberg, Germany. I later answered God's call to full-time Christian service, and the Lord led me to study at Crown College of the Bible in Powell, Tennessee, where I met my wife, Crystal. During my studies, God began to use my own Scottish heritage to grow in me a burden for the people of Scotland. Crystal had the opportunity to spend one semester studying abroad at the Crown College UK division, where the Lord allowed her eye to affect her heart. And on June 5th, 2010, we were married and began working under Pastor Ron Owens at Calvary Baptist Church in Spotsylvania, Virginia. In cooperation with Baptist International Missions Incorporated of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I want to take this opportunity to thank you for your consideration of the Goosemans in becoming a part of your missions family. As a pastor of a local independent New Testament Baptist church, I know the great responsibility you have in determining who you partner with for worldwide evangelization. I've had the privilege of watching Michael and Crystal grow in their service to the Lord over the past couple of years. Through Michael's internship here at Calvary Baptist Church, he has been involved in soul winning, Sunday school, children's, music, and preaching ministries. Michael has also overseen special events and has helped with much of our graphic design work. Crystal has worked in our nursery, music, and children's ministries, along with being a help meet to Michael in several of his areas of service. I had the privilege of traveling with Michael and Crystal to Scotland for their survey trip. As their pastor, I noticed a great need for good, solid, fundamental Bible preaching and teaching there in the Orkney Islands in order to establish independent, indigenous Baptist churches. I could not help but notice Michael and Crystal's love for the Acadians as they interacted with them on the streets and in their homes. I also noticed that people were very receptive to the Guzmans and could not wait for their return to Scotland. We here at Calvary Baptist Church are blessed to have them on our team. We know it is time to get the Guzman family to Scotland. Would you prayerfully consider supporting the Guzmans through your prayers and finances as they seek to obey God's will for their lives as missionaries to Scotland?
The United Kingdom consists of four very different countries: England, Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Scotland is a vast land of rugged mountainous seaside cliffs, thick wooded regions, bustling cities, and expansive foggy moors. However, many people overlook a large portion of the country, its islands.
Orkney is one such chain of 70 islands lying approximately 20 miles north of the mainland. 19 islands are inhabited with a population of about 20,000 souls. Kirkwall, the largest city, has around 8,000 residents, followed by Stromness just a few miles down the road with 2,000.
Though the population seems small and the area remote, thousands of visitors flock the islands every year during the summer months to see the spectacular wildlife. We hope that as these people come from around the world, that they will see the even more miraculous grace of God through the churches that will be planted across the islands. Our burden is to preach the gospel, to plant local indigenous churches, and to train national leaders to continue the work of God, reaching the world through their Jerusalem. Please join us in being a light to the island.